Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, thank you for joining us this day. And as we're coming up on the Christmas season, my name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Glenn Fink.
And Kim Fink.
We're coming up on Christmas, and I just want to talk about something that unfortunately has happened in Bethlehem. And this goes back to November. Bethlehem, the West Bank city of Bethlehem, first of all, West Bank is a misnomer, but we won't go there, has said that they will be removing all decorations celebrating Christmas. They said that they would dismantle the Christmas decorations that they had installed several years ago, and they're removing all festive appearances in honor of the martyrs and in solidarity with the people in Gaza. A spokesman said the reason is the general situation in Palestine. People are not really into any celebration. They are sad, angry, and upset. Our people in Gaza are being massacred and killed in cold blood. Therefore, it is not appropriate at all to have such festivities while there's a massacre happening in Gaza and attacks in the West Bank. Well, first of all, notice there's no reference to what happened on October 7th. Second of all, we know because of international news reports that the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, have taken incredible lengths to try to avoid civilian casualties. There is not a massacre going on in Gaza. There is an attempt to wipe out a terrorist organization that has been sending rockets into civilian populations in Israel since 2006. And just for the record, that was under the Palestinian Authority. That was not under Hamas. So one is as bad as the other. But they're canceling Christmas because they invaded Israel and Israel fought back.
I just want to add one other quick thing, because I was reading something yesterday, the day before, that somebody in Gaza and Hamas, I believe, was complaining because essentially 15,000 people have been killed, and 5,000 of them are the Hamas insurgents of the 15,000, and how horrible that is. And then Israel turned around and said, anytime you're doing urban warfare, if your civilian death is only 2-for-1 enemy, that's a really, really good record. And so all of a sudden, what sounded like a bad record was really, really a very, very careful record, where they're trying to be very careful in who they actually get into a conflict with.
I want to comment on what Mary said about Bethlehem. One of the problems is there's no Christians left in Bethlehem.
They've been driven out. I know that.
They've been driven out by the Muslims. And secondly, Bethlehem's main source of income is
tourism.
So
they're killing their own infrastructure.
Yeah, they're killing the golden goose. And I predict that this is an excuse to keep the Christians from even wanting to come, and that those decorations will never go up again.
That's not a difficult prediction to make.
But that secularism it's everywhere. It's even in our own country. And I read a news article today by John Droz. He was a CCTA speaker just recently. He's a scientist, and he writes a blog on critical thinking. And in this blog today, he was talking about going to order his Christmas cards, and he was looking for 4x8 cards of a religious nature. And he went to Vistaprint, and that's where he's typically gotten them in the past, and always had multiple choices for his cards. And anyhow, nothing showed up when he put in his traditional options. You know, you have to go and you say Christmas, what your theme is, and then he put in religious. And he said that all of the cards that came up were like a family picture kind of card or a Christmas tree or something like that, and not a single religious card, nothing about the birth of Jesus or a star over Bethlehem or the wise men, nothing. So he decided to call the company, and this is Vistaprint, to see if he was doing something wrong in his search. And he says he spoke with a very pleasant customer service person, and she confirmed after her search that there were no Christmas cards with any Christ-related scene. So then she proceeded to tell him about an option to create a, quote, custom Christmas card. It would cost him $10. And then she said that she would credit him for the customizing. And so he followed her directions and submitted a request for a religious scene Christmas card. And he did get one from Vistaprint. But he decided that he would check with Shutterfly and Snapfish and Walmart online. And not a single one of them had any, not one. So the secularism of the religious meaning of Christ-centered Christmas and the Christians is here too.
Yes.
So the marketing and all of those organizations has decided that Christianity is a pariah.
Well, we need to remember Jesus is the reason for the season.
Retail companies need to remember that Christians make up a large portion of the buying public.
And we can protest with our wallets, just like we did with Budweiser. And
yes. And unfortunately, of those folks that are somehow categorized as Christians, if you look at the stats, only about really 10% regularly attend church at the minimum and don't normally engage in church support. So I think it's a narrower part of the population that are serious Christians. I'm not to judge. They make their own choices, and I'm not in that process, but the stats aren't very good about
even a smaller percentage of those people would be aware of something like this.
Right. So it's unfortunate fact of that matter.
Yes.
Speaking of Bud Light, did you see their latest ad in an effort to get their audience back?
No.
Peyton Manning and Emmett. What's Emmett's last
name? Smith.
Emmett Smith are throwing beers in a crowded bar.
Well, they made a marketing mistake. I believe the person behind it was fired, wasn't she?
Eventually.
Yes. And
wait, time out. What's the proper terminology for fired on that?
Oh, executive renewal opportunity.
Okay.
Okay.
That's called the new tech term for director fired. But we're going to have to learn as Christians to speak up
right
about things like this, because we are a minority in the culture. We need to admit that, unfortunately. But our whole Christian culture is being slowly eroded. And we need to be aware of that, and we need to do what we can to prevent that. And along with that, I am going to bring up the subject of anti-Semitism in our colleges. This is frightening, what has happened. It's interesting that a lot of these colleges, MIT, Harvard, etc., a large percent of their funding comes from the Jewish population. And I wonder if the people funding these colleges realized how bad the anti-Semitism is on the college campus.
Some of them are. There's been reports of some of them withdrawing their funds. One guy said he wouldn't hire any of the anti-Semitism graduates.
Years ago, we went to a lecture from a professor at one of the Southern California State Colleges, and the lecture was about anti-Semitism on the campus. And this was like 12 years ago. And afterwards, we were talking to her about it, and it was in the context, we were at a Jewish temple and most of the audience was Jewish. And one of the women who knew that we were not Jewish, that we were Christians, came up to me afterwards and said, my daughter goes to NYU. The anti-Semitism there is awful. She said, I wish I had sent her to a Christian college. She would have been treated better. And I almost fell over. But that's, I mean, and again, this was 12 years ago. It's only gotten worse. But she understood that the Christians, generally speaking, support Israel and do not engage in anti-Semitism.
Sure.
Is there some way that these students are being targeted because somehow they would have to know who's Jewish? You know, how are they targeting an individual unless they know that it's a Jewish person?
No, the library that the Jews took
refuge in.
At Cooper Union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have Jewish meeting places. They have Jewish groups.
And dining halls.
And dining halls.
Okay. So they were specific. Oh, and that would be because of their dietary.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's ways to find them.
Okay. That's what I was curious about because, you know, they talk about doxing people. So I didn't know if that was part of the bullying going on.
And I don't know if the male students wear their
yarmulkes.
There was a Fox radio reporter on the radio today that said that she doesn't even go out of her apartment anymore. She feels targeted.
Yeah.
And she's in New York City.
Which has a very large Jewish population, which, because it's New York City, is unarmed. Hmm. You know.
Yeah, it's a very, very large population. So who were some of the presidents of some of these universities?
Harvard, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Yesterday, Elise Stefanik was talking with the president of one of the schools and asked if calling for the killing of the Jews, Intifada, was violent. And she said it's all about free speech.
And whether it's in context or not is what I heard. You gotta say, is that bullying in context? But then to drive the point home, she said, how about if the same thing was done to a black population? Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't even directly answer that because of the hypocrisy
that
it would have shown.
When we get back, I want to talk about a contrast in freedom of speech when we get back.
Very good. Well, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us.
Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Again, welcome back. Thank you for staying with us. I'm going to Mary.
I just want to comment that while these students who are not actually very well educated on our college campuses are calling for infatada, which is the killing of the Jews, the genocide of the Jewish population from the river to the sea means wiping out Israel. That's free speech. But when Donald Trump said, go peacefully and patriotically to protest at the Capitol, he was accused, he is charged with inciting insurrection. So I don't understand when you call for the killing of people that that's okay, but when you ask people to peacefully protest, that's not. I think there's a bit of a double standard there.
Hmm. Has to fit the narrative, Mary.
Yeah, I
well,
guess.
Well, one of the presidents said what? It's a context. It depends on the context.
Yeah. And another president right after her was asked the same question, and she said the exact same answer. It depends on context.
So you can tell people to kill people as long as it's in the right context.
You know, it's interesting, and again, this is an article that came from the College Fix that we're referencing right now, and there's many other places. But at the near at the end of the article, liberal Democratic Congressman Josh Gottheimer criticized the presidents as well. How hard is it to say that calling for the genocide of Jews is bullying and harassment?
Hmm. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good
so
to hear.
This is not one side right now. There's a number of people that are coming against these the indoctrination that's going on at some of these major colleges.
Well, it amazes me after reading of the horrors that went on October 7th, and there was an article yesterday about the fact that the prisoners released were drugged before they released. This was in the Times of Israel. A health ministry representative told the Knesset Health Committee that the hostages freed from Hamas captivity were given tranquilizer pills before handed over to the Red Cross so that they would appear calm, happy, and upbeat after the physical abuse and everything else that they had gone through as captives. So we're going to ignore the massacre of October 7th and the way the women were treated, and we're going to ignore the rockets fired into Israel, into civilian populations, and we're going to complain about the people trying to clean up the mess.
It's the media narrative agenda again. They're only going to report what is going to promote their agenda of...
But why is this their agenda? This makes no sense.
I agree.
Because if Hamas continues to exist, they're eventually coming after us. Israel is the little Satan. We're the great Satan.
Mm. Well, they always think they're going to save you for last.
Oh, is this like you feed the crocodile every...
Right.
When you're running from a bear, you don't have to be the fastest runner. You just have to not be the slowest.
That's right.
Good grief.
That's craziness. It's got to be a lot deeper than anything that's political. I think it goes back to the religious.
It's satanic.
I agree, because it's turning into the Muslim versus the Christian.
Yes.
In a lot of ways.
And yep. It's turning into people who are not willing to coexist. I mean, you see these wonderful little coexist bumper stickers every now and then. And my question has always been, how do you coexist with people who want to chop your head off?
How will they coexist if there's Muslims and agnostics? Where will the agnostic fall?
It's easy to coexist as long as you live under my rules. When you live under my rules, now we can coexist.
Okay, Dad.
the word Islam means submission.
Yes.
So as long as you submit, there's three classes of people under Islam. There's Muslims, there's infidels, and there's the people who will pay the tax to be allowed to live, but they have to submit to Islam.
So they're the slaves.
They're the slaves.
And essentially, paying the tax is not as simple as writing a check. Paying the tax involves a ceremony where they mimic chopping your head off, because they want you to be sure that you understand that it is a privilege that you are being allowed to live because you paid this tax.
Now, in jihad, and the definition of jihad is what, my struggle or something like that?
Well, that's what they'd like you to believe.
That's what you, well, as long as they also understand the words Mein Kampf was
which
the same thing.
Which is my struggle.
My struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, they'd like to redefine jihad.
Yes.
Not to mean killing infidels, but to mean a personal struggle. Because when we all first came aware of that term, we understood it to mean what it means, which is a worldwide call for Muslims to rise up and kill the infidel. Mm-hmm. But Osama bin Laden was really good at redefining words, so the West thought they understood one thing when all the Muslims understood another thing. So now jihad is mutated into my struggle, but that's not what it means to Muslims.
Not to them, no.
If you go back and listen to the translation of the Yasser Arafat speeches versus what he told the world versus what he told the Arabs, you will find out that there are two very different things that were said. And we go back to taqiyya, which is the Islamic principle that it's okay to lie to infidels if you're promoting Islam in the process. And we need to not be so stupid. I mean, seriously, we need to understand that even if we don't think we're in a war, somebody is in a war against us. There are a lot of people in the world who envy our freedom, who envy our freedom of speech, and would like to make it go away. Unfortunately, a lot of them are associated with the United Nations, but that's a whole other discussion.
Where do we want to go from here now?
Yeah, where do we want to go from here?
Can I do my Victorian slang?
Absolutely.
Sure, please do.
Last week I had the 1899 restaurant's Thanksgiving menu. This week I have Victorian age slang. And you won't recognize any of these, but they're hilarious.
Now, quick, Pat, Victorian age, now that's really only a couple of generations ago. But now, yes, it's unrecognizable.
The language has changed.
Yeah, it said the Victorian era has some of the most innovative slang of any period because it was such an explosion of creation on all fronts, including linguistic.
Tell us the years this would encompass.
Fronts. Oh, now you're going to ask me to do math.
Oh.
Now, wait a minute. I can find that.
It's like 18-somethings, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, first one is muffin walloper. And that's a woman, unmarried woman, who gathers with friends to gossip. So imagine women sitting around the teapot eating cakes and
sounds like
muffins.
A quilting bee to me.
Now, I just to add information, the Victorian era spans from 1837 until 1901.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
You wanted numbers. Yeah. Okay. You got numbers.
You got numbers.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary.
This is my favorite one, gas pipes.
Gas, it's not water, what we think pipe. It is.
It's a pair of very tight pants. And I wonder if Mr. Kerry was wearing that. He was speaking the other day at the climate conference.
And now, he's allowed to do something that cows are not allowed to do.
Oh, no, let's not go there, guys.
The next one is fly rink. And it refers to a bald man. Think about it. Bald head is an open field where flies can gather, especially in the days before daily bathing was practiced.
Oh, no.
Gross.
Yeah, that is gross.
That's gross.
Next one is giggle mug. Smiling is contagious, and when you have a giggle mug, someone who smiles a lot, you're bound to join in yourself.
Oh, that's nice.
That's like a baby.
That's a definite improvement over the last one.
Yes. Pod snappery. It's willful ignorance from someone who refuses to acknowledge what doesn't align with their personal views.
Well, that's
now.
A new
look, can
word.
We bring? We got to bring that one up.
The American
today.
Media.
Yeah.
We have a lot of that one, and here's my favorite one, the last one. Got the Morbs in MORBS. This one appeared in the 1880s, and it means you're down in the dumps.
Aww.
That is
Morbs.
Got the Morbs. Okay.
Got the Morbs. I guess because you're morbid.
Morbid. Yeah.
It's amazing how the language changes, and I think one of the things that we're going to see, it's happening already, is the impact of texting on the American language. We're raising a generation who spells phonetically because it's quicker. And
in three-letter acronyms, too, three-letter.
Oh, yeah, LOL and SMH and all kinds of stuff. You know, it's amazing.
NBC, CBS, ABC.
BS.
That's
well,
a good one.
I was handed from my husband today some useful new tech terms.
And these are probably texted around periodically.
Okay. Yep. RUD, Rapid Unscheduled Disassembly.
And that was Elon Musk when his rocket went up. And the
it
first,
says the
first
prototype blew up.
Yeah, the prototype blew up, yeah.
NFR, Non-Upward Fiscal Readjustment. That's a funding cut. Repeat Dispersal Occurrence, that's RDO. The new version blew up. ICE, Infrastructure Combustion Event. The lab burned down. Comprehensive Personnel Migration. The research team quit. OSP, Ongoing Suboptimal Performance. The third version blew up. ERO, Executive Renewal Opportunity. The director was fired. And FOR, Fundamental Objective Reappraisal. The project was abandoned.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we're going to stop again to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is a CCTA wake-up call show. Thank you for staying with us.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Thank you for staying with us. And again, where this is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary?
I want to talk a little bit about the recent Climate Control Summit. First of all, John Kerry and Kamala Harris flew there on separate private jets. It took place in Dubai, where they air-conditioned the desert. Now, these are the people who want to take away our gas stoves and our air conditioning and want us to eat bugs. And I can pretty well guarantee you that they were not eating bugs at the climate convention, that they were air-conditioned. And it's just ridiculous that they are using this as an excuse. Now, there was a protest at the Metropolitan Opera recently by climate change protesters who were yelling that the earth is dying. We're killing the earth. We're not going to be around much longer. You have to act now. What are these people being told? What are they being taught? It's unbelievable. So one of the things that was said, John Kerry said that all coal plants must be shuttered now.
But not any other countries, only ours.
Yeah, China's building a coal plant every week. And he made the statement that coal plants are killing people daily. And the article that I got this from was, the paper that I got this from was the UK Daily Mail. And they made a comment that I think applies very much. You know what else kills people daily? On an order of magnitude considerably larger than climate change? Poverty. And there's no more time-proven, efficient method for alleviating poverty than ensuring the widespread availability of affordable energy. We are punishing ourselves for no apparent reason. We are punishing countries that need coal because it's the only source of energy that they have. And even if we were to eliminate all of our CO2 emissions, we would not make a dent in the Earth's CO2. And there are many scientists who believe that CO2 is a good thing because it encourages plant life.
But here again, they will follow the science only if the science meets their agenda. And if you connect that back to the my trigger, follow the money, if it has to be government subsidized to exist, i.e. the solar panels, i.e. the wind farms, i.e. the offshore wind things, if it can't support itself, number one, the people don't want it, because the government is subsidizing it. And number two, they keep calling things sustainable. Well, it's not sustainable if you can't afford it. It's not sustainable if there's nobody to do it. If we have to count on lithium and the rare earth metals it takes to make these that we have to currently import, we're in big trouble.
This is a sidetrack, but I do remember a story of a solar farm that was out west, Midwest or Southwest, and a hailstorm came through and completely demolished all, you know, substantial hailstorm and completely demolished their solar.
And what do you do with all the waste that you have, the chemical waste that you have at that
point? Sustainable.
And you know, there was also a very recent one. I can't remember the exact date of it, but there was a very recent occurrence of a solar farm, not a solar farm, but a wind farm that for a long period of time, there was absolutely no wind in that area. Nothing was being generated from this farm. How do you keep the lights on at the house or whatever else when there's nothing being...
We have a solar light on our flagpole in our front yard. And 2 days this week, our solar light didn't get enough sun to light that little tiny light on top of our flag.
Mm-hmm. There was a town in Massachusetts, I'm not sure which one it was. It was down toward the Cape, that had a windmill that took it down because of the low-frequency vibrations and the impact of the people living near it. And there wasn't anybody closer than 5 or 6 miles near it, but they were having interrupted sleep, they were having headaches, they were having all kinds of problems from the low-frequency vibrations. And you also get into the fact that the lithium mines in Africa are being mined by little kids. We wouldn't allow that here. Why are we putting up with importing things in that situation?
A rabbit hole to go down at some point would be to look at trade deals, because I think our trade deals are responsible for a lot of this stuff. This country will say to another country, we will buy X barrels of oil, we will import X tons of shrimp. You know, mm-hmm. I think these trade deals have a lot to do with our disability to be self-sufficient, because as we're not producing ourselves, we're importing from somebody.
And that was, I think that was one of the things that President Trump did during his presidency. He rewrote some of those trade deals so that they were more friendly to the American economy and less detrimental to us, and particularly in terms of energy independence, because when we're energy independent, we don't have to play politics.
That's right.
With what goes on in the Middle East.
You know, we're basing this all on follow the science also, okay? But again, let's go back just a couple of weeks when we listened to John Droz talk about what is science? Is science the consensus of somebody that's being paid an awful lot of money to come up with a certain thought process?
If you're in the government.
In the government, yeah. I mean, so the science has nothing to do with science or the scientific principles as we grew up with. I'm talking to parents or grandparents right now. I mean, young children are not being exposed to the scientific principles and you know, form a hypothesis and then
scientific method
and try to break that hypothesis. Yeah,
follow the money.
It's different.
100% of scientists agree with who's ever funding them.
Oh, I like that. That sounds like a TV commercial.
I mean, that's
and
where
97%
we
of those all agree on climate change. Don't you remember that?
Yes,
97% agree.
There's a picture going around on Facebook right now of the Statue of Liberty in the 1940s. And today,
yes.
And there is zero different to where the water level is on that stone wall.
Well, somebody pointed out to me, and I'm not the greatest scientific mind on the planet by any stretch of the imagination, but somebody pointed out to me that if you take a glass of water and you put ice cubes in it, and those ice cubes melt, that the water level after the ice cubes melt is the same as it was before the ice cubes melted.
Right.
So if all these glaciers melt,
they're saying it's evaporation from the increased heat. They're basically saying it's evaporating.
But the sea level isn't going to rise.
Yep. That's science, Glenn.
But the sea level isn't going to rise because the glaciers melt.
I agree.
And we've seen where Greenland became Greenland, and then all of a sudden Greenland became ice again.
Yeah, they've dug into the ice in Greenland and found plant fossils there. So at one point, Greenland was considerably warmer than it is now.
And I think we had glaciers here.
I don't think they came this far down.
No, I said country.
Oh,
I don't mean North Carolina.
We did. They came, in fact, New England, which is all rocks. You cannot dig in. If you live in New England, the reason they have those rock walls is because they had to take them out of the fields and they needed something to do with them. But, I mean, we couldn't dig 2 inches in our backyard before hitting a rock. We found some really nice landscape boulders. And that is refuge from the glaciers. But there was a period of global warming during the Middle Ages. Are you going to tell me it was caused by the manor lords driving around in their SUVs?
Mm-mm. Or what about volcanoes? There's more methane and other gas coming out of a volcano than you'd have out of your cars.
Or cows, yes.
When Mount Pinatubo erupted, we were living in New England, and we did not have a real summer that year. I think we had a couple of days when it got in the high 70s, maybe the low 80s, but we did not have a real summer that year because of the amount of garbage thrown into the atmosphere. It impacted our growing season. It impacted our summer.
And it was not caused by humans.
Hmm. No, we had very little to do with it. We have the people who are screaming that we are messing up the environment have an overinflated view of the importance of us.
Didn't you hear Hillary is now counting the number of deaths caused, human deaths, caused by climate change, and she claims that 500,000 people have died from climate change.
I find that hard to believe.
Because
I
do too. Overheating. I mean, it's the heat kills them.
Well,
that's still a lot of
people. Is that not an argument for air conditioning?
I don't know. Politics makes my brain fry.
But we're not, what I'm saying is we are not important enough, powerful enough to control the climate.
Right.
We have an obligation, I believe, to pollute as little as possible. I mean, let's not pour toxic chemicals into the water supply. That's just stupid. But we also have to balance the needs of civilization with pollution. We have to be careful not to overpollute, but we can't be paranoid, and we're not in control.
No, we're not in control.
Speaking of which, the Israelis want to flush the tunnels out with seawater.
I saw that.
I think it's kind of a good
Please
idea,
do it.
Personally.
Please
we'll,
do it.
We'll get back to that.
Okay, we will get back. And again, thanks for staying with us. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. This is the CCTA Wake-Up Call. Pat, I think you're going to...
2 years ago, Congress gave Biden $7.5 billion to build EV chargers, and not a single one has been built.
Oh.
Where's that money?
Where's that money? Well, I think it goes along with, was it Solectra, the battery place?
I'm it's sure that that... It's in somebody's pocket.
The money's in somebody's pocket, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, too, that the car manufacturers have called for the government to step back because nobody is buying the electric cars. And part of the problem, there are a lot of problems with that, I saw one article last week that said they figured out the cost per gallon of gas if you have an electric car is $17 a gallon.
Well, it's interesting, too. If you go to any of these places that have the charges, like when I was going over to the hospital to visit a friend that was in there, the electric charging spaces were 99% open. I've never seen those spaces open. And, you know, the rest of the parking lot's full.
What does 1% closed look like?
Well, I'm just saying that people don't want the electric cars.
Occupied.
Well, also, again, half of the United States has a cool climate. Batteries lose their life in cool climates. There was a town in Minnesota, I believe it was, it might have been Wisconsin, but it was one of the two, that went to electric school buses. And they discovered very quickly that in the wintertime, that was a really bad idea. And New York City has gotten rid of its electric snowplows for the same reason.
Well, what happens in a blizzard with electric vehicles? You get stuck on the highway.
Can somebody bring you a can of electricity?
Well, also, when you look at even with an electric truck, when somebody has to tow something, okay, it really depletes that battery very, very quickly. Now, free rolling and good airflow across the vehicle is different than trying to tow something. And towing versus pushing snow, but those are both big strains on the equipment. By the way, also, the wonderful world of Amazon has decided to go back to diesel trucks for their delivery fleet.
Well, if you look at what's unwise about that, those are large batteries, larger than in cars, so their payload is reduced. So they have a certain weight limit, and what percent of that weight limit is being consumed on these? Because I'm hearing they've got ranges of 300 miles, where a diesel has 2,000-mile range with the tanks they have.
It's crazy, yeah.
Not only that, Bob, but look at our country. She says we have large cool areas. We also have large empty areas. I used to live in New Mexico, and, you know, I had to drive... since I had a rural district, I had to drive an hour and a half to get to one of the courthouses and an hour and a half in a different direction to get one of the courthouses. There was not even a radio out there. Radio signals didn't even reach. So there's no chargers. How are you going to get across the desert going to California? There's no chargers out there in the what is it? Not the Dead Sea. What do you call that?
The Mojave?
Death Valley.
Death Valley.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to add to what you were just saying. We helped the kids move from Jacksonville out to Pendleton, California. And we went out 40. And then we get out to Palm Desert, I think it is. And you can either go up 15, I think it is, or go up to get to 15 and then come back down to Pendleton or you can take that shortcut that goes over the mountains. Well, that shortcut would have killed the battery in 2 seconds flat, because I know halfway up the mountain they're telling you shut off your air conditioner so you don't overheat, and all of this vertical climbing and
switchbacks
and whatever else. Yes, there would be an electric vehicle that would actually free float back down whichever direction it was going. Where are we going?
Oh, you want me to talk about flushing the tunnels with seawater? Israel has used dogs to find some of the bad guys in the tunnels. And those tunnels, some of them are no wider than a telephone booth, leading to serious concerns about casualties. They're also booby-trapped. Mm. And the environment is virtually pitch black. Israel has an anti-personnel foam bomb that can be deployed. Never heard of that. That's interesting. But the latest plan is to flush out the terrorists with seawater. And the problem is that it could also ruin the strips, Gaza Strip, their water system, because they don't know what the effect would be on the tunnels themselves. They could collapse. The sides could collapse. The soil is toxic. It could get into the water supply. It could ruin the sewage.
Mm.
There's a lot of damage that the seawater could cause. But Israel has large seawater pumps that can bring water in from the Mediterranean and pump down those tunnels, and they've already started assembling them and setting them up. So we'll wait for the West to start screaming about that.
By the way, for everybody that's listening, taking all that seawater would prevent the seas from rising if we take all that seawater and store
it. But Israel, the reason that Israel has the pumps that will pull out the seawater is that Israel does an amazing amount of desalinization because they are a desert and they need water. And I suspect if, unfortunately, the environment is negatively impacted by this, they can set up the desalinization in Gaza to get the people through whatever they need.
Gaza already has desalinization, but they're saying if they pump all this seawater in there, it'll put such a strain on the system, and there'll be so much saltwater contamination that the people there won't have any drinking water.
How does the foam bomb work?
It didn't say. I would be very interested in the foam bomb.
I would suspect that it would probably suffocate anybody that was...
That's what it seems like to me, too.
Well, you know, it would be much easier if Hamas would just come out and surrender, but somehow I don't see that happening.
No.
Well, maybe it's like that caulk that you get that you put in, that great stuff. You put it in and it expands.
Yeah.
Put that at every entrance and call it jail.
And that the foam that you put around a door frame.
Yeah, that's
there's something called high expansion and low expansion. Now we're really down a lot of rabbit holes, but but I've seen where somebody used the high expansion foam on a door frame, and because it did the expansion, they couldn't get the door open again.
Right. Yeah, that stuff is legit.
The danger, of course, is the hostages. But I don't think we're going to get any more hostages back. And unfortunately, Hamas broke the last ceasefire. I see no reason to assume that Hamas is going to be peaceful or cooperative. And the fact that Qatar is doing the negotiations and that they support Hamas
and
makes it even worse.
Israel has already withdrawn all of their negotiators from Qatar.
Good.
And how many American hostages have been released? And my understanding is there's at least one North Carolinian in this list.
That has not been released.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the ones that have been are dual citizen Americans.
That was
they're
just
not,
a child.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I thought there might have been one other, but they're all dual American citizenships. They're not just Americans.
Segway. Riley Gaines. She's in the news again. And I'm happy to say that she's going to be our guest speaker at the Reagan Day dinner next year. She was testifying in Congress, and she made some remarks. And the member of the squad, a far-left Democrat, Congresswoman Lee, told her that her comments were transphobic bigotry. And Riley said, well, then that makes you a misogynist.
Good for her.
They were talking about trans women in women's sports. Naturally, that's Riley's topic. And so the representative who was running the committee was so angry that she stopped the hearing and tried to get Riley's comments struck from the record. And apparently her staff is telling her they can't strike hers if they don't strike Riley's, who was insisting if you strike hers, if you strike mine, strike where she called me a transphobic bigot. And after some discussion, they decided they'd both go in. You know, the only way women are going to stop this, trans women, I noticed the other day that a women's cycling competition, trans women won first and second. They had this little squatty female going, yay, me. She won third. These two guys, you know, are like 6'5". But they had makeup on. These things are happening around the world. A female boxer withdrew from a match after finding out her opponent was a biological male. A Wales woman withdrew from a billiards match after finding out that her opponent was a biological male. And that may seem strange at first, but apparently a lot of that depends on the force of the impact when you break the balls. So the man has a has more force, more strength. So he immediately has an advantage if
just
he does
spread
the break.
The table. Yep.
Yeah. So
yeah, most women don't have a lot of upper body strength.
Didn't one of our tennis stars, didn't Serena Williams recently not agree to play a match that was going to be with a trans?
I don't know.
That's somewhere in the cobwebs of my mind.
Okay.
And then last thing, and you guys can comment on this, was the 11-year-old girl that was on a school trip assigned to sleep with the biological male.
Well, thank God her parents were there as chaperones and were able to address the issue so that the event didn't happen. But the fact that it was assigned by the school people, the parents are demanding answers from the district.
Well, it's sad that an 11-year-old boy thinks he's a girl.
Right.
I mean, that's awfully young.
Right.
That's really unfortunate. And evidently, she did not know ahead of time that he was an actual boy.
Oh.
It happened during a conversation, actually in the room, where she found out he was a boy, and then she went into the bathroom and called her mother, which is the logical thing to do. And it is being dealt with, I hope. I don't know. I don't know how you handle that. I really don't. Do you put the transgender kids in a separate area by themselves? I don't have answers.
Leave them at home.
Well,
that's
I don't
my
know.
Suggestion.
We only have a few minutes. I just want to remind people that the CCTA Christmas party is December 19th. There will be Christmas carols, light food, light fare, and a message from our vice chair, Pastor Damon King. It should be a really nice night. Everyone is invited. We are asking people to bring a non-perishable food item that we can donate to RCS. But it should be a fun night, a relaxing night, and come join us at Stanley Hall, December 19th, 7 p.m.
Thank you, everyone.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.